Father God, we thank you so much for this opportunity to build your kingdom, Lord God, with your tithes and our offerings. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for the faithfulness of your people, Lord God, who give into your kingdom, who sow into your kingdom, Lord God. And we pray, Lord, that you meet every need in their lives. Father God, we thank you, Lord God, for your word says, if we give it, it shall be given unto us, pressed down, shaken together, running over in good measure, shall we cause men to give unto our bosom. But Father, we give because we want to build your kingdom. We want to honor you. We want to praise you. We want to worship you, Lord, with our substance. And Lord, for this, we thank you. We honor you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Glory to God. This morning I had to break some sacred cows to dress like this. And it feels kind of weird because I'm usually more business-like and more conservative. Even my wife thought I was weird. Not I was weird, but it looked weird. But thank the Lord. It's good to be here this morning. And as you know, this is a very special day because we get to witness something beautiful and something powerful, which is the water baptism. And the water baptism is one of the most visible and meaningful ordinances of the Christian faith because it powerfully symbolizes what Christ has done for us. Amen? And so I want to take the time, just a few minutes, to talk to you about the water baptism. And I understand that many of you here and those who are watching may already understand the meaning and significance of the water baptism. But I don't want to stand up here assuming that everyone here knows and everyone who's watching knows about the water baptism. So for the sake of those who may not understand, I just want to take a few minutes just to talk a little bit about the water baptism, because we all know that the water baptism is not about just going into the water and coming out of the water. I'm hearing an echo here. But it's more than that. And we're going to learn this morning that it is a declaration of our faith. It is a death and burial, and it is also a resurrection all in one. And so one of the first things that we need to learn about the resurrection, about the water baptism, is that it is the first step to obedience after salvation. In other words, the water baptism doesn't save you, but it shows that we are saved. Amen? If you look at Acts chapter 2 in verses 37 and verse 38, I still hear an echo, where Peter had just been filled with the Holy Ghost, and he was led by the Spirit of God to preach a very powerful message to the people in Jerusalem. And after preaching a very powerful message, we pick up in verse 37, and it says this: "Now when they," referring to the people in Jerusalem, "heard this," referring to Peter's message, it says that they were cut to the heart. In other words, they were convicted in their hearts. And then they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" You can almost sense the urgency in their words. And then Peter goes on to tell them exactly what they needed to do in verse 38, where it says this: "Then Peter said to them," watch this, "repent. Then," he says, "let every one of you be baptized." Notice that repentance comes before the baptism. You see, when you repent, it means to turn away from your sinful life and to turn to God. And so the people who heard this message, who was moved and cut deep by this message, obeyed the words of Peter. They repented from their sins. They turned to God, and then they were baptized. And we see the results over in verse 41. If you look there with me, it says, "Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them." Now imagine 3,000 people in one day repented of their sins, turned to God, and were baptized in water. Hallelujah. It is a public declaration of our faith. It is a visible testimony like the wedding ring. My wedding ring is a visible testimony that declares I belong to someone. In this case, I belong to my wife, Maria. Her wedding ring is a visible testimony that declaring that she belongs to me. Make sure you all understand that. She belongs to me. But a man can love a woman privately, but the wedding ring declares something more publicly. Amen? A wedding ring doesn't make someone married. The vows that we exchange at the altar does that. But the wedding ring is simply a public symbol of the relationship. So even if you were to take off the wedding ring, it doesn't change your marriage. However, wearing the ring declares that the couple belongs to each other. Amen? The water baptism is like the wedding ring. It doesn't save us, but it declares that we belong to Jesus. Hallelujah. So the water baptism doesn't make you married to Christ. Our faith does that. But the water baptism is just our way of saying that I belong to Jesus and I'm not ashamed. Amen? And so this morning, when our candidates will step into the water, they're going to make that same declaration that I belong to Jesus, that I already belong to Him. They're going to say, I am His and He is mine. Amen. So the water baptism is not a ritual. It is a declaration of our allegiance to the King of Kings. Glory to God. The baptism is also a public identification. It represents the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. It also symbolizes our death and burial to sinful life and a resurrection unto a new life. As a matter of fact, you could say this. Baptism is actually quite similar to a funeral. There was once a story about a young man who had given his life to Christ. After years of addiction, running wild, and running from God. And on the day that he was saved, he wanted to be baptized. And so his pastor says, on the day of your baptism, bring something that represents your old life. So on the day of his baptism, he brought this old torn leather jacket. It was a jacket that he wore throughout his dark and wild life. And in the pockets of that jacket is a reminder of his past. There was a lighter, there was a pack of cigarettes, and a small bottle of whiskey. Jack Daniels, I believe. Some of you know what I'm talking about. And before he stepped into the water, he hands the jacket to his pastor, and he says to his pastor, that is who I used to be. And his pastor says to him, then let's bury him today. And so when he got into the water, everybody in the congregation wept. But when he rose from out of the water, he raised up his hand and he shouted, I'm free. You see, that day was more than just symbolic for this young man. It was a funeral and a resurrection all in once. Hallelujah. So you see, it was a funeral for his old self and his old life. When a person desires to be baptized, they are identifying themselves as a dead person, as a dead man and as a dead woman. Listen to what Paul says in Romans chapter 6 in verses 3 and 4. He says this, or have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death? Verse 4 says this, for we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we all may live new lives. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, for anyone who is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. Hallelujah. It's out with the old and in with the new. So when we go into the water, what we're saying is that I'm leaving behind my old life. And when we race up out of the water, we're saying, I now live for Christ. That's what the baptism represents. It is a death to sin, a burial with Christ, and a resurrection unto a new life. But it's not the end. Baptism is not the end, but rather is the beginning of a new life of discipleship. It reminds us that following Jesus is a lifelong journey and not a one-time decision. It is taking on a new identity in Christ. Look at Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27. Paul said something really interesting because he describes baptism as putting on Christ. Listen to what he says. And all who have been united with Christ in baptism have what? Put on Christ, like putting on new clothes. Now imagine wearing a team jersey. And everyone that sees you with that jersey identifies you with that team. They know what team you're on because that jersey identifies with that team. So baptism is like putting on the jersey of Christ. It is a public identification. It's like putting on a new uniform that marks us as belonging to Jesus. When I was in the army, one of the first things I had to do was to remove my civilian clothes because my civilian clothes represented my old life as a civilian. But I was also given a new set of uniform, which represented my new life and my new identity as a soldier in the U.S. Army. Are you with me this morning? And so when we talk about identification, it's like putting on new clothes, which identifies a person with their outward appearance. Well, baptism shows that outwardly we have put on Christ. And anyone that sees us knows that we're on his team, knows that we belong to Jesus. So the water baptism is not only a step of obedience after salvation, it is also a declaration of our faith in him, but also a public identification of a new identity in Christ. The third thing I want to talk about baptism, actually it's the last thing I want to talk about baptism, is that it is a public testimony to the world. In the early church, when they were baptized, it always came immediately after their salvation. So it became a testimony and a public declaration of their newfound faith. Listen to what Matthew 10, verse 32 says, Jesus, in his words, because understand, it's a powerful thing to make your faith public. In Matthew 10 and verse 32, it says this, everyone who acknowledges me publicly, we're here on earth, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. Now, watch this. When we stand before witnesses and confess our faith, something shifts in the spirit realm. All of heaven will acknowledge you. All of the angels in heaven will rejoice over you. And all of the powers and principalities who are enemies of our faith will be put on notice. Baptism, understand this, most people will not associate baptism with spiritual warfare, but it is. Because it is our declaration that we belong to Jesus, that we are on his side. It's like signing your name publicly and telling the world that I belong to Jesus. Are you hearing me this morning? There is power in baptism. There was a story about a young man whose name was Daniel. And this young man grew up in a very violent world, in a violent street, in a violent neighborhood. By the age of 12, he was already running with a dangerous gang. By age 14, he was carrying a gun. And he was constantly in and out of juvenile detention. And so one day he was hiding from the police behind an old building. And as he was hiding, he heard singing coming from a small church next door. And curiosity pulled him into that building. And as he walked into the building, he heard the pastor quote from Matthew 11, verse 28, when it says, come unto me, all you who are weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. When this young man heard these words, he began to speak to himself and think to himself and said, I'm so tired of running. He says, I'm so tired of running from the police. I'm so tired of running from myself and from my past. I'm just so tired of running. And that evening, he gave his life to the Lord. And then 2 weeks later, he was baptized in water. And when he went into the, when he came up out of the water, he wept uncontrollably. And he later described his experience. And this is what he said. He said this, it felt like the water washed 20 years off my soul. This is the power of baptism. But the power is not in the water. The power is in the God who meets us in the water. Hallelujah. Baptism may also come with a price. It may come with a cost. There's a story about a missionary from India who was about to baptize a new believer who come from the Hindu background. And the woman stood at the edge of the river where she was going to be baptized. But she hesitated to go into the water. And the missionary noticed that. And the missionary asked the woman, are you afraid of the water, sister? And what's interesting is what she said. She says, no, I'm afraid of what it means. Then she said this, my family will reject me. My village will turn me away. But still, I want to go in. So she enters into the water. And as she comes up out of the water, she began to cry. Not because she was afraid of being rejected by her family or by her village. These were tears of joy. Because she realized she made a decision. And this is what she said. She says, I made my decision and I cannot go back. Doesn't that remind you of a song that we know so well? A song that we have sung so many times. A song that goes like this. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Hallelujah. There is power in baptism. There is power in baptism. It is a line drawn in the sand. It is a visible and irreversible decision that I'm going to follow Jesus no matter what the cost. And I'm not looking back. Hallelujah. So the baptism, the water baptism, is more than just going into the water and coming out of the water. It is about making, is about the first step of obedience to after salvation. It is a public declaration that we belong to him. It is a public identification of his death, burial, and resurrection, knowing that we're on his team. And it is a public testimony to the world that we belong to Jesus, no matter what the cost. That is what the water baptism is all about. Hallelujah. Let's give him praise right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And if you're a believer here this morning, and if you're a believer watching by live stream, and if you've not been baptized, take that next step of obedience and make it your declaration and your testimony. Amen. So at this point right now, we're going to call up the names. And as I call out your name, would you just come up to the front and line up here to my right? Also, just before I forget, parents, at the end of the service, when you pick up your children, you can pick them up in the prayer room. You can go right through these.